Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The Game, our streaming on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, is presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Very thankful for them. Also, Jumper Tech.
We do really appreciate Jumper
Gotta
Tech.
Gotta love Jumper Tech.
Not as much as we appreciate Amanda Gentry. However, Jumper Tech really does do it for us.
I bought a laptop off of Amazon. And I had Chase take a look at it, tell me if it was the right laptop to buy. You know, Chase said, you know, TikTok, let it rock. And it is Jumper Tech.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, though. So far, I kind of like it.
It's not bad. I mean, it does the job. It just very clearly is a knockoff of something. But that's okay. It does the job.
But so Jumper Tech. You know, not to throw them under the bus. They're fine.
No, yeah, they're great. So, it would not be the first time that I ordered something knockoff off of Amazon.
Oh, not the first time, not the last.
Won't be the last.
So we're live First Horizon Park tonight. Sounds and Columbus Clippers. And the skies are ominous and the tarp is coming out. But I still think that it might be a little storm and then this game will get underway on time.
I am very glad that I drove today then.
Oh, yeah, because you live right over here.
Yeah.
Anywho, Chris Sanders said that he's worried about the Colts. Now, all the old football people are always worried.
Yes.
Chris is worried. And you heard Chris go, oh, yeah, I'm worried. But I think the Titans will win. Ian, we know how worried Floyd used to be.
Oh, it's a division game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's, uh-huh. And I just look at it like this. Carson Wentz didn't practice today. And I have no idea if Wentz is going to play. But he left the facility on a scooter on Monday. That usually, scooters are usually reserved for people who have broken ankles. Now, there is a difference between a high ankle sprain and a break. But it's like high ankle sprain is right at the line of the ankle's not completely broken.
That's not just your average ankle sprain.
No. And I've had one of those, and I know. I think everybody's probably had a high ankle sprain. And knowing that it's September and knowing that there could be more damage that's done to the ankle and the fact, again, that he left on a scooter Monday from the facility. And he did not practice today. Frank Reich said that they'll be monitoring the situation throughout the week, which is his way of saying too early to tell. I'm not sure Wentz is going to play on Sunday. And if Wentz doesn't play on Sunday, I don't think the Indianapolis Colts have any business beating the Tennessee Titans. And I said this, I may regret it. But I really don't think a Jacob Eason-led Colts team has any business beating the Tennessee Titans. Remember when Wentz got hurt and Eason, they said it's his job. And then after like a week of bad practices, they said, well, we're going to see Sam Ehlinger too. And they both went at it in the preseason and Eason did not have a good preseason. And then Ehlinger, there were a lot of people, and I read, you know, in The Athletic and I followed the Indy Press, and there was a lot of talk that Ehlinger would be the backup to Carson Wentz.
They were high on Ehlinger.
And I want to say he busted his knee.
He tore his ACL.
Busted his knee right before in the final preseason game. So Eason's their quarterback. I watched him throw one pass on Sunday. Now, I was doing the pregame show with Mark and Chris, and we were at Corner Pub out in Cool Springs, and I kept looking up at the TV because it had the Colts and Rams on. And obviously I'm following the Colts and Rams game as we're doing the pregame show to get ready for Titans and Seahawks. I mean, he just gifted the ball to Jalen Ramsey. Just threw it right to him. Now they'll have something in place for Eason if he goes. And so he won't be coming in cold. And we all know they're going to want to hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor. We know. But I just don't think the Indianapolis Colts, unless the Titans screw it up, I don't think the Indianapolis Colts can beat the Titans with Jacob Eason at quarterback. Now, I get worried about the Titans getting cocky because we saw what the Titans look like when they get cocky many times over the last half decade, but especially that week one against Arizona. But I don't think Indy belongs in the same ballpark as the Titans if Carson Wentz isn't their quarterback, and I'm not sure he's going to play. So Chris says he's still worried and said, you know, hey, maybe it's Wentz, maybe it's Eason, but I'm still worried. I'm not sure I can be that worried if Jacob Eason starts at quarterback for them.
Well, I came into the season and I pegged this Colts game as a will win.
Sure.
Now, later in the season, I said probably will you lose. I thought that the Titans and the Colts would probably split the two games this season, but I thought this was a will win, even with Carson Wentz at quarterback. Now, I have to imagine that the Colts will not play Carson Wentz, because if you put Carson Wentz in hopes that you might get a win at Tennessee just to get a win on the board, then you risk the rest of your season and you risk Carson Wentz's health. So, to your point, I don't think that Carson Wentz will play. I think it's the safest thing. Just let him sit, get back in week four if he feels healthy enough. But so I thought the Titans would win with Carson Wentz. Now, very much so, I expect the Titans to win with Jacob Eason at quarterback, and I do expect the Titans to win handedly. If they don't, I don't care that the Titans went into Seattle and beat Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care. No. That was a fluke. And if you can't beat a team that you should have beaten with their starting quarterback, and you can't even beat them with their backup, I don't care what you did. I don't care what the possibility for this team is. You've shown what you are.
It is a much different conversation if Carson Wentz plays quarterback and they lose on Sunday.
Still a busted up Carson Wentz?
Well, like, I saw the Titans in 2019, for example. They went to Cleveland and beat them the first week, and then they played Indy again, and it was the infamous Marcus spiked the ball on third down, A.J. Mm-hmm. Brown dropped the ball on fourth down. You know, just a bad performance by the Titans in that second week against the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost that game, and they got smacked by a bum Jacksonville team the next week. And they ended up in the AFC Championship game. So, as I've always said, you know, don't get too worked up about September football. In college, you can get worked up about September football.
Yes.
Because any loss, you can start the season in a conference game, lose it, and now you're out.
You're done
of
for
the
entire season.
And so, college football, you can get worried about September football. NFL, you know, September football is weird and fluky and freaky and all that kind of stuff. So, I do have that caveat in there. If they win with Wentz, I think I can say to myself, okay.
I can live with that.
Titans didn't play well. Titans didn't do this. Titans didn't do that. Okay. Eason sucks. Like, this is different than Logan Woodside, who we really haven't seen play at all.
Mm-hmm.
Eason got in the game, threw one pass, was intercepted by Jalen Ramsey. I'm sure he threw another pass because they got the ball back with 20 seconds.
I want to say he played two series.
But he literally got in the game and threw it right to Jalen Ramsey. They don't want to put that kid out there. Carson Wentz, by the way, met with the media today, and we will stay updated on Carson Wentz. A bootless Carson Wentz talking about both sprained ankles says the right ankle is much worse than the left ankle. Okay, if Wentz is a right-handed quarterback, and if you're watching the stream, I'm about to stand up. If he's a right-handed quarterback, then
he's
the
leaning
right,
back on his
that's
right
his drive
ankle.
Leg,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. That seems to be pretty important to me.
That's the ankle that he said he was in a dog pile with Aaron Donald and he could just feel it twisting.
God, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to play. But again, as Wentz said, according to Taylor Tannenbaum, who is a sports anchor in Indianapolis.
Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you, Taylor. Quote, a lot of treatment, throwing the kitchen sink at it to try to get healthy. Here's the other thing, though, about the Colts with Carson Wentz. And that is, if Carson Wentz doesn't play in this game, if Carson Wentz doesn't play, you're looking at 0-3, and you're a game and a half back in the division, really two games because the Titans mm-hmm. would have the tiebreaker, and you've got Miami and Baltimore coming up. And I don't think you recover from 0-5. I was listening to Bob Kravitz, longtime Indianapolis columnist. I was listening to Bob Kravitz talk on Robbie and Retro this morning, and he was saying, you know, they were 1-5 a couple of years ago, and they had Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
And Carson Wentz is not Andrew Luck. The Colts media is convinced that Carson Wentz is playing well. I can't say that he's not because I haven't watched enough of it to be able to judge, but I feel pretty confident in my heart that Carson Wentz is not going to turn over a magic leaf and be able to carry a team from 0-5 to the playoffs.
He can do it better than Jacob Eason can.
But
I don't really
might
know.
Be able to do it better than Jacob
Eason. All right. Well, I don't know if I'd go that far.
I'm just saying. So I look at it like this, and I think, okay, if Wentz plays, I've seen the Colts beat the Titans when I thought the Titans had better teams before. Mm-hmm. Last year, the Colts came in here and won because the Titans couldn't get a punt off.
I mean, we've said it since week one. Crazy things happen in the NFL, especially in September.
You know that notepad that says, like, a note from Jared Stillman on it?
Uh-huh.
So I had written down last year, when they played the Colts at Nissan Stadium, like right towards, I want to say the end of October, maybe the beginning of November. It was a Thursday night game. They switched the punter, which made no sense. And the punter shanked one and got one blocked. And I put together a list of all the things the Titans did wrong in that game. And it literally points either that they didn't score. For example, A.J. Brown hit with a bomb, dropped it, didn't score a touchdown. And it ended up being like 30 points. And I actually found that the other day, like that piece of paper.
Uh-huh.
And I have put it into the safe at my house. This is a very important piece of paper to me. But I was looking at it, and they did so many things wrong in that game and lost that I've seen games where they screw up against Indy.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not taking that off the table. I just don't think they can screw up so badly with Jacob Eason at quarterback that they lose. I just don't think they can do it. I just got to believe that if he starts at quarterback, you're winning.
I mean, the Titans' errors would have to be so detrimental. It feels like to me everything would have to go right for the Colts and everything would have to go wrong. And maybe that's a little bit dramatic. Maybe it would have to be like very much so Jacob Eason plays the best game of his career and Ryan Tannehill plays one of the worst.
You'd have to turn the football over two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to pull a special teams play.
You'd like have to drop the ball in the end zone a couple times.
You'd really have to screw this one up.
Yes.
And their right tackle didn't practice either. So that's another thing to keep in mind. So that's how we're starting this hour. 615-737-1025. I don't think Wentz is going to play. I really don't. And if Wentz doesn't play on Sunday, can Jacob Eason actually beat the Titans? 615-737-1025, plus what Mike Vrabel had to say about both quarterbacks, Wentz and Eason, and trying to prepare for the two. We'll get to that coming up next. Again, we are live at First Horizon Park today. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Boy, I'm excited about this Monday Night Football match because I can bet it on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. That's my official sportsbook app. FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everybody a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. On the Monday night game, for example, you can make that bet between the Eagles and the Cowboys. And I just say this, I have been impressed by the Cowboys, though I'm not a huge believer in them. There is no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay, so lock in your bet today on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you're new to FanDuel, use the promo code JGM to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code JGM, so they know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
What's the difficulties when you're kind of preparing for two quarterbacks and not really any idea who's going to play? What goes into that preparation-wise?
You know, I don't think that there's a huge difference in the skill set. I mean, I think they're gonna operate their offense. Carson's play strength. You know, obviously Jacob's limited exposure. But they have talented. Their receivers are tough. They're physical. Doyle's been there forever. Very productive. You know, their backs are fantastic. I think they have an unbelievable group of backs. Got a lot of respect for Taylor, for Hines, and then obviously Mac working his way back in. Not sure how much he'll have, but they're just a lot of dynamic players. You know, receivers are tough. They're physical, and the backs can do a lot of different things.
That was Mike Vrabel, Stillman & Company, live at First Horizon Park. What'd you think of his breakdown of the two quarterbacks? Which is always the way this question gets asked. Which is, so how do you go about preparing for two different quarterbacks?
Mm-hmm.
And the way I would answer the question, which I was kind of expecting Mike to answer, but I understand why he didn't. The way that I truly think that they're preparing for the two quarterbacks is I think they're preparing for Wentz.
Because if you prepare for Wentz and you get Jacob Eason, great. You're over-prepared.
Right.
And if you don't prepare for Carson Wentz, and it is Carson Wentz, even with bum ankles, you're going to be a little bit more intimidated.
Right.
With that.
I would prepare for a 100% Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
Because the 100%
it's going to be
Carson
the same
Wentz.
Offense with Jacob Eason.
Right.
It's just going to be less of a threat.
And he moves around a lot, so you need to be prepared if that's – I mean, look, Kirk Gibson went up in the World Series on one leg and hit a game-winning home run.
Mm-hmm.
So anything is possible. And I think you've got to prepare for that. Now, what I do wonder with Indianapolis is the risk versus reward of this. You go 0-3 and lose a division game. If you play Jacob Eason, probably. And if you win this game with Wentz, you definitely give yourself a little bit of padding down the road. I still wouldn't risk it in September for one game. I wouldn't risk Wentz if I were them.
Because, okay, that's not even a guaranteed win. Like, I would understand if it's like, okay, you know, this is Houston or this is Jacksonville. We have to win both of these games against these divisional rivals because it feels like, okay, Carson Wentz goes in there, has a good game. They're going to beat those teams. They're going to be those bum teams. But putting Carson Wentz in against Tennessee, you risk Carson Wentz's health. And also, it's not even really a guaranteed win. I think that's still kind of a slugfest with Carson Wentz in. I see where you're coming from, though, because on the Indianapolis side, you go down 0-3, and you're looking at Miami on the other side. It doesn't look so bright for the rest of your season.
And really, also, Baltimore, too.
I mean, and Baltimore
would be the one that, you know, you're 1-4, and I know the Titans dug themselves out of it in 2002.
Crazier
Most
things
teams
have happened.
Don't dig themselves out of that.
But how are you going to dig yourself out of going 1-4 if Carson Wentz isn't able to return because he completely messed up his ankles against the Titans?
Oh, yeah, then you're done.
Then you're totally done.
If it gets worse, you're done.
So I think that's more of a risk to play Carson Wentz. And I don't know if this is just me hoping to speak it into existence. The Titans are able to face Jacob Eason and have an easy win on Sunday. Maybe, not necessarily. But if I'm Indianapolis, save Carson Wentz because it's too much of a risk to put him in against the Titans and for a game you may or may not win.
Kick it around the room. Who starts a quarterback on Sunday? Ian.
I'm going to say Eason.
Caroline.
Eason.
I go with Eason, too. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Tune into the Game of the Week on ESPN 94.9. Brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The NFL Game of the Week. The Philadelphia Eagles take on the Dallas Cowboys Monday night. Kickoff set for 7:15. Who else? Cedric is going to kick us off today. Thank you for calling. Cedric, I have to tell you, before you get going on the Colts, I was listening to an old Jared and the GM podcast from 2 years ago this morning, and guess who the first caller was?
Yours truly.
And you called Mike Vrabel Coach Meathead.
Yeah, Coach Meathead, for sure. Absolutely, Coach Meathead. I hope I don't have to bring that back on Sunday, but, you know, he shelved that for right now. But, man, this is a rivalry game. Anything can happen. I don't care if Jacob Eason starts at quarterback. Gardner Minshew beat the Colts either last year or the year before. He might have beaten them a couple of times. So, you know, the Colts have a great defense. It's a rivalry game. Throw the records out the window. When these two teams play, man, it is going to be a slugfest, a great football game in Nissan Stadium, and all the Titans people need to be there to tighten up, man.
No, I'm not saying don't go to the game. And I'm not saying, you know, any of that. Thank you for your call, Cedric.
Howard.
I'm not saying don't go to the game.
It's still very much so, I think, going to be a good game. It's just the Titans have a little bit of an easier feat in front of them if it's Jacob Eason instead of Carson.
Yeah, because you got to make Jacob Eason beat you.
Yes.
Like, that's the way that I look at the game of like, okay, like Jacob, I'm stacking the box and I'm not letting Jonathan Taylor get out and Jacob Eason's got to beat me. And I just don't know if Jacob Eason can be Shane Bowen. And you know that I've got some reservations as far as Shane Bowen is concerned as defensive coordinator.
I think a lot of people in this town would concur.
But he's got to be able to trick Jacob Eason. I mean, he's got to be able to throw Eason. The kid's never played in an NFL game other than some, you know, that duty at the end of the Rams game of the day in which he threw an interception. Like, you're going to have to do that to him. You're going to have to make him beat Christian Fulton and beat Jack Rabbit Jenkins and I'll put it to you all like this. If Derrick Henry didn't play a game against Baltimore, did the Titans go win?
No.
Isn't this kind of the same thing?
Kind of feels like it.
Like, they're not. Taylor's good. Tannehill's good. But, you know, you can always win one game. Like, a good, solid veteran team can win a game without a star player. But I'm not sure this Colts team, I'm not as on board with this Colts team as everybody else is about them being a good, solid team. Because I don't feel like they ever really were in control of either of the two games they played. And I felt as almost they were in that Rams game in large part because the Rams fumbled a punt at the goal line. And Indianapolis just picked it up and scored a touchdown on it. And you take that, and again, you can't take it out. I mean, it happened. But I this Colts team, and Ian, back me up on this. When Andrew Luck was the quarterback, people were texting into the text line or calling into the show saying, why don't you just move to Indianapolis with how you talk about the Colts? I give the Titans no chance. You know what this is, Ian? If Eason starts, you know what this is?
What's that?
It is Sunday Night Football 2018 season finale on December 30th. Titans and the Colts, where one team had Andrew Luck at quarterback and the other team had Blaine Gabbert. That's what this is. The Titans had no chance to win that game. They got a pick six from Jayon Brown, and they had no chance to win that game. And I thought Derrick Henry played okay. And everybody in the ballpark knew Derrick Henry's getting the ball. And I think he had like 80 yards that day. But like, that's what this is if Eason plays. What's the text line say?
Donovan from Wisconsin texts in and asks, could the Colts make a trade beforehand for Gardner Minshew? He's just sitting on the Philly bench doing nothing, but we all know he can be a solid quarterback.
That's not how the NFL works.
I don't think that you can pick him up. Let's say they do that today. You pick up Gardner Minshew. He makes his way over to Indianapolis. Do you think he's going to be ready in this offense for Sunday?
Well, see, that's my point about how the NFL. This is not fantasy football, and this is not Madden football. Where it's like, oh, yeah, there's a trade. Okay, done. There we go. You don't do that in the NFL.
You have to get ready to play in a game in an offensive system, and it takes more than a few days to do that.
Though it should be stated that in 2016, the Titans played the Colts. I was actively rooting for the Titans to lose, and they did lose because if they had won, they wouldn't get the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
And this season was so bad, and the team was and I just wanted the number one pick.
Tank for Trevor.
And it was funny, too, because I remember, like, D. Mason Floyd, who had to do the pregame shows. And do you know how hard it is to do a pregame show of a team that's 3-13? Like, it is hard.
Today could be the day.
It was all just, like, long talk of, like, so what are they going to do tomorrow when they fire everybody? Okay, here's what they're going to do. So, anywho, I wanted the number one pick because I'm like, you can get whatever player you want if you have the number one pick. Even if you've already got a quarterback, and they ended up trading that into the great trade that got him Derrick Henry and got him Jack Conklin and got him Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis. And so I look at, I go back to that game. The Colts signed Josh Freeman that week and he started at quarterback and beat the Titans. So that did happen once and it was the Colts and it was the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
You buy anything into Cedric's call about the rivalry element of this? I am not a huge believer in that.
I don't know if it's as much rivalry as it is this is a divisional game, and this game has serious playoff implications.
And there is just an overall familiarity factor with divisional games, and especially the Colts and Jacksonville that, you just don't get normally. There's just an even out factor when it comes to there's no surprises whatsoever.
Sure. 615-737-1025. We'll hit some more of your texts. But there is another thing that I have totally decided, and I know this is the unpopular opinion, but I got to take it because Mike Vrabel said it perfectly today. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, we're live at First Horizon Park. Again, it is Fan Appreciation Weekend. It is the last homestand of the season for the Titans, for the Sounds. So come on out and see the Sounds. Sounds Baseball, by the way, it's presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. And again, it's their final home series of 2021. It's Fan Appreciation Week, and you can enjoy $5 and $6 beers all week. Grab tickets today. Visit nationalsounds.com. First pitch at 7:05. Stillman and Company, CSPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company live from First Horizon Park tonight. The Sounds begin their final homestand. Are you struggling to find and retain good employees? We can help. Cromwell Media invites you to attend one of two free recruitment and retention seminars hosted by Chris Stonick on October 5th or 6th. So you'll find more cost-efficient ways to recruit qualified employees, learn new recruitment strategies, and enjoy a continental breakfast and be eligible to win door prizes. Go to thegamenashville.com/register for more info to sign up. So I was listening to Robbie and Rex Road just cry this morning. I mean, just real grown man tears about the taunting rule in the NFL. And I have heard a lot of people just cry grown man tears about the taunting rule in the NFL. Now, in this case, the taunting rule helped the Titans. It didn't hurt the Titans. Do you have a problem with the taunting call that was called on Sunday in the Seattle game?
I have a problem with the rule. But it's a rule, and they called it. So, no, do I have a problem with a call? No. Do I have a problem with the rule? Yes. It's annoying. Just let them play football.
Ian, do you have a problem with the taunting rule?
The rule?
Well, I guess how the rule is being adjudicated.
I mean, if that's the rule, I think they're following the rule. So I don't think the refs can do much about it if they're just following the rule.
Okay. Mike Vrabel was asked about taunting. And I, again, have heard people cry and cry and cry. Mike Vrabel was asked about taunting today. Here was Mike Vrabel's response.
We're trying to keep, or at least our football team, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to tell our guys, celebrate with your teammates. You know, be as excited as you want to. Be excited with your teammates, with your sideline. You know, that's what it is. And like everything else that our league does, you know, they will get, you know, come together and they will decide how they want to officiate it. But from our standpoint with the Tennessee Titans, it's a clear message. Celebrate with your teammates or run the risk of hurting your football team.
You know those scenes of churches where the preacher says something and people say, yes, 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 amen, yes.
Is that what you did when you heard that?
Yes, because here's my thing on taunting. Because here's what happened, right? A.J. Brown didn't catch the ball. Guy got up in A.J. Brown's face, celebrated it, and they threw a flag. That's taunting. Don't taunt. That's the response to this. For everybody out there that's like, oh, it sucks. I hate it. They hate the NFL. I hate it. Just don't taunt. Well, it's not that hard. Don't taunt.
Well, my response to that would be like, oh, all of you crybabies sad about someone getting up in another player's face and celebrating a touchdown. That's football.
The rule is taunting.
I know.
Don't taunt.
I know what the rule is, and if that's a rule, you have to follow it. I go back to a conversation that Chris Anders and I had in the air about Sha'Carri Richardson, how she couldn't...
The one that smoked pot.
Yes. You can't smoke weed. You can't smoke weed and run in the Olympics. It's a dumb rule. You may not like the rule, but she broke the rule, and that's the rule. That's how I feel about the taunting rule. I think it's stupid. I think that it's so unnecessary, and I think there are so many more problems with the game that could be fixed, not just, you know, being up in someone's face and celebrating about something. It's a dumb rule, but it's a rule. And if you don't follow it, then you get a penalty and that hurts your team. So you have to follow the rule.
Is it that hard? It's a dumb rule. Is it that hard to not taunt?
I guess not.
Like, don't taunt. And I'm going to tell you why the league's doing this. And people don't care about this. Are you familiar with the Q salute?
I don't think so.
Ian, are you familiar with the Q salute?
Can't say it rings a bell.
So Jeffrey Simmons will do this every now and then when he gets a sack. And I did not know this until two years ago.
This is Omega Sci-Fi.
I think so.
Yes.
So when Steve McNair would score a touchdown, he would do the Q salute where he put his hands kind of
like...
Don't
do it. Don't do it. You can't do it.
Well, I can't do it?
You can't do it if you're not in the fraternity.
Okay. Well, anywho. So Steve McNair would do that when he would score a touchdown. I was 9, 10, 11 years old when Steve McNair was quarterback of the Titans. Guess what we did when we were outside at USN playing, you know, football in the backfield?
Did you do the Q salute?
We all did it. We all did it. Because we saw Steve McNair. I did not know what that meant. You know, it's just like guys hit a home run. You know, Sammy Sosa does the kisses and to the camera.
And Tannehill does the...
Yeah, Tannehill does
the finger
roll.
Jump up with the thing?
Yeah, he does the finger roll. Everybody's got their own thing. Steve McNair did this. I didn't know what it was. I did not know what it was until like maybe 18 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's their fraternity.
I didn't. Floyd
salute.
Told me what it was.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea what it was. And so like, I guess the point I'm trying to make here is what the NFL goes out of their way to want to set the example. They feel like they owe it to society. You may not like that. Like, you may be like, y'all just play football and let me crack open my beer and watch football. And you're entitled to that. But the NFL does not feel that way about themselves. And the NFL says, we want, I read a, I forget who wrote it. I think it was maybe Peter King. I can't remember. Who basically wrote like the first hand account with talking to Goodell and Alan Sills and other people about how they tried to push the season through a pandemic last year. Like, they know, hey, everybody, wear masks on the sidelines, but when you play, take your masks off. Like, they know
when you're 6 inches away from another player.
Yes, like, they know the effectiveness of that.
Yeah.
Like, they, but they do it.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to set the example. In the taunting element of this, they don't want kids taunting other kids. They don't want society imitating what they see. And considering that the NFL is the most popular entertainment product in America, I understand what they're doing. And so if this is the route they've decided to go, fine. I don't like the fact that they took pass interference being replayed out of the game. I think it should be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But they did it. The rule is taunting. They don't want it in there. They told you before the season, we don't want it. And instead, grown men are getting on the radio and crying about taunting. Like, oh, just taunting at the NFL. It's just... Hear what Vrabel said. Hey, go celebrate with your teammates. You don't need to get in the other guy's face and taunt. And so, if they call it taunting against the Titans, I'm going to be mad at the guy who taunts. I'm not going to be mad at the league for wanting to adjudicate this rule. I'm okay with it. So I'm just so tired of the people that just cry when it comes to taunting. Just don't taunt. And I think that's Vrabel's sentiment there was, you know, hey, I tell our guys, go celebrate with the teammates. AKA, don't taunt. And I'm okay with it.
Well, and I do understand that there is a sort of trickle-down effect whenever you are at the absolute top of whatever industry you're in, and this happens to be the NFL, that when kids are in middle school, high school playing football, like your point when you saw Steve McNair do the Q salute, that you do it too, because that you see that and those are your heroes. You think those are the coolest people ever.
Sure.
So you're going to want to mimic them. So I understand that there is a, that the NFL does not want to be responsible for any sort of poor sportsmanship at the lower level, because why would you hold yourself to a different standard?
Is the Q salute,
I get that.
And I mean this with all sincerity,
huh.
Is the Q salute, like, if you're not in the fraternity, offensive to other people?
It's offensive to the people who are in the fraternity.
Okay.
Because it's like, we work to get in here, you know, this is, and I think that NPHC sororities and fraternities, like what Omega Sci-Fi is, it's way different than, like, you know, your typical, like, the sorority that I was in, for example.
You are a sorority and fraternity expert.
I am. I was very involved in Greek life in my day, shaped who I am, and I'm very grateful for it. But yes, long story short, it's disrespectful to the fraternity if you do it because you're not initiated.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Go ahead and throw that one on the table as well. And there is something that Mike Vrabel did that he is now being criticized for, which I think is just ridiculous. Just downright preposterous. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company live from First Horizon Park. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company, we're live. First Horizon Park sounds tonight. So I read Bill Barnwell.
Mm-hmm.
And, normally I don't want to go back on Wednesday to a game that happened on Sunday, but I read this in ESPN, and it's worth discussing because I do think sometimes people can learn, and criticism sometimes makes people second-guess themselves. And I just want Mike Vrabel to not second-guess himself on Sunday, which is a really weird way to say this, right?
To not second-guess yourself?
Yeah, he should not second-guess a decision he made on Sunday. Do you have any idea where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
So Bill Barnwell,
I think
it was
probably the most important decision that Mike Vrabel made all day.
Bill Barnwell wrote on ESPN about how three teams, you know, here's what it said. Week two in the NFL was full of heartbreak. 8 of the 15 games were decided by fewer than 7 points, and many had dramatic finishes, including last-second wins by the Cowboys, Cardinals, Titans, and Ravens. In a sport where we might only get a handful of data points to see how a team handles itself in tight situations, week two was valuable insight into what might happen over the remainder of the season. So forget about the Giants, the Vikings, the Chiefs. I don't care about that. So go to the Titans. Week two result beat Seattle. The Seahawks were the latest team to fall victim to the body blows of Derrick Henry in the second half of a game as they blew a 14-point lead with 13 minutes to go and eventually lost in overtime. Like the Vikings, the Seahawks could plausibly blame their kicker as Jason Myers missed the extra point. You can take issue with some of Pete Carroll's decisions to punt or kick on fourth down throughout the game, but I'm more interested in the decision made by the coach who ended up winning the game. The touchdown scored with 32 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter, and Mike Vrabel faced with a dilemma of whether to tie the score with an extra point or attempt to win the game with a two-point conversion. The officials had spent a couple of minutes reviewing the prior play as it had been ruled a Henry touchdown on the field, so Vrabel had plenty of time to consider his choice. He immediately elected to send out his special teams onto the field and play for overtime. Now, this is something that I believe in. In this case, I was begging to kick the extra point. Now, Mike Vrabel has a history of making horrendous decisions in this scenario.
Well, Mike Vrabel was a player, and the players are all, yeah, let's get do it. Let's go for it.
So here's what Barnwell writes. Yes, the Titans won in overtime. Still, Vrabel's decision was clearly the wrong choice, as they should have tried to win the game with a two-point attempt. Why? Number one, underdogs want to shorten the game. But at that point, like, I didn't feel like the Titans were underdogs. I felt like the Titans were screwing up the game, and that was the only reason why it was still a close game. I thought the Titans had totally outplayed the Seahawks at that point.
In the second half, yes, but the Seahawks had outplayed the Titans very much so in the first half. So I'm not going to call them underdogs.
But think about the Seahawks plays, the Seahawks touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You don't want Titans screw-ups.
They're still touchdowns. They're still points.
Right, but like Molden runs into Bradley McDougal, and the guy just runs down the field for a touchdown. They just let the wide receiver go behind the DB. And guess what? If that happens in overtime, you're going to lose too if you just let a wide receiver run behind all your DBs. Like, that, to me, like, Seattle was not putting together sustained drives and moving down the field that would worry me of like, oh, we got to end this game right here and there. And they couldn't stop Derrick Henry. So if I get the ball in overtime, I'll just turn around and hand the ball off to my running back and you try to tackle him because you haven't tackled him all half. Two, going for it, Barnwell writes, plays to your team's strengths. You know, the whole going for it, give it to Henry, get the two. Okay, whatever. You know, when it's one play and they know who's getting the ball, most teams in the NFL can stop that. Three, it's not likely to influence Seattle's play calling, whatever that means. So, I want just Mike Vrabel to not read that. I want Mike Vrabel to know that he made the right call on Sunday. And not only did he make the right call, this is so out of character for him. The two times, now he did this against the Ravens and it was the bad decision to punt on fourth and two in the playoffs. But he has always been, we got a chance to win, we're going for it, we're going for it. He has always been that way since he got here. And after they played the Buccaneers in 2019, I was listening to an old Jared and the GM podcast, and I was losing my mind in a game they won. They beat the Buccaneers on a Sunday. And in the game, Vrabel called the dumbest fake punt I have ever seen, with Brett Kern trying to outrun Devin White in order to get to the sticks. Devin White blows up Brett Kern. Kern fumbles the ball, but they blow the whistle and call it dead. So instead of picking it up and running to the end zone for a touchdown like Tampa Bay did, it's Tampa Bay ball at that spot. And I could not believe that Vrabel was going to do it. And Floyd said at the time that Mike Vrabel was never going to change on the crazy, dumb fourth down play calls. Here's what Floyd said back then. I don't know what Vrabel was thinking. And again, this is, I mean, Mike Vrabel is going, I don't even know what you do at this point. This guy cannot make a decision.
No.
This was a horrible decision.
That is absolutely wrong.
He can't make a good decision,
excuse me. It's easy for him to make the decision. And you know what's funny? Is he will never change. You can gripe all you want.
I mean, if he won't change, he needs to get fired because that's ridiculous.
And rave and carry on. But if he gets to a point, this is what I've decided with Mike. He gets to a point in the game where he thinks a call, a fourth down call, can solidify the end of the game, the final outcome. He's going to go for it. I mean, he's going for it now. He's going for the win.
I agree.
You know what? You can disagree with that.
But that's so irresponsible, Floyd.
What are you trying to do? What is it Herm used to say?
Are you insinuating that winning coaches don't kick field goals?
To win the game.
And being up seven gives you a better chance to win the game.
To win the game.
Oh, my God. I'm going to throw up. And I will say this. Floyd said he would never change.
He grew up.
He changed.
Mike Vrabel grew up.
He changed. Oh, I'm just so happy. I'm just so happy. I just want this moment. I want to take a moment. Because of when Floyd said that in that moment, he was right, and I knew it, that Vrabel was never going to change. He was always going to tell the guys, just go for it. Go for the win. And now he's starting to use his head on the sidelines, and I love it. And that's why I don't want him to read Bill Barnwell and start to second-guess his decision-making, because a big part of that conversation was me saying that we need to hold Vrabel accountable, because then he'll learn to not do it anymore.
Well, I feel like going into Seattle and getting a win should be enough from Mike Vrabel, that he shouldn't second-guess himself. Because sure, you look at that sample size versus the Chargers game in London.
Oh.
You went for it, and you lost.
Oh.
You play, and I know that playing it safe and just, you know, kicking the extra point and taking it to overtime, that's not sexy. That doesn't make the players on the sidelines go, yeah, like, Frames, let's do it. But you win a game. You win that. You go into Seattle against Russell Wilson, and you win the game when you are what, a touchdown underdogs?
The one thing, though, I don't like doing is I don't like getting in the business of saying that it was a, well, like saying that you decide to go for it and you get it, so you win, and saying, okay, well, it was the good decision because you won. I don't like that, because I don't think that's fair to the coach, because the coach isn't executing the play.
But you at least give yourself the opportunity. You have a higher likelihood of winning the game if you can just take it to overtime.
So that's what I thought. I mean, that's what, the way I felt the game was going.
Yes.
That's how I felt. A significantly higher chance than putting it all on one play, you trying to get 2 yards, and it, you being a situation where you're trying to get 2 yards, and everybody in the ballpark knows who you want to get the football.
Yes.
I don't.
And if the Titans win for 2, could they have made it? Maybe. Sure. I don't know. We'll never know.
Had they gone for it and gotten it and won the game, you would have heard 4 hours of me and Collins yelling at each other. Because that's what it would have been.
You think that he still shouldn't have done it?
I think it would have been a bad decision. That's the way I live my life, as far as criticizing coaches and things like that, which is, if I believe that you make the right decision and it works, then I think you made the right decision and you should be congratulated for it. If you make the right decision and it doesn't work, and you feel, me personally, feel in my heart like it was the right decision, then I'm going to tell all of you that I think it was the right decision. And if you make the wrong decision and it doesn't work, everybody will pile on you, mm-hmm. and I'll certainly be one of them. But if you make the wrong decision and it does work, I still am going to point out, like, I don't like this decision. You know, like, I still don't like it. And I thought that Vrabel did the right thing. The way the game was going, in my opinion, was, and sure, Russell's Russell, and he can make a throw in overtime and you lose.
Yes.
But you had, for the most part, outside of your own stupidity, you had contained Russell Wilson in the second half. Your defensive line was beating their offensive line, and that wasn't an accident. And Derrick Henry had that defense so gassed. They showed one on TV where a Seahawks defensive lineman was looking up at the scoreboard, and I could see the defensive lineman through his helmet go, like trying to just breathe because they'd been on the field so much. And
they
were gassed.
They were obviously gassed in that second half.
I thought that if the Titans got the football, and I was wrong about this, I thought if the Titans got the football, they'd turn around, hand the ball to Derrick Henry, go right down the field, score a touchdown.
Right.
And but I want Vrabel to know that he made the right play call. And it was funny because today,
I'm sure that he will be listening to make sure that he has your stamp of approval.
Hey, look, they all listen. The one thing that gets me, though, is listening. Like, I was just listening to old Jared and the GM podcast, whatever. And hearing that, given the situation, and the Barnwell article I had read last night, I was like, I got to bring this up. And Vrabel is learning.
He's growing. That's growth.
He's learning.
So proud of him.
He's learning.
Good job, Mike.
615-737-1025. Quickly, let's just get to a text or two. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Ryan from Nolensville texts in and says, kick it. Vrabel said he learned his lesson from the Chargers game in London. Barnwell is a bum.
Did he say he learned his lesson from the Charger game?
That sounds very out of personality for Mike Vrabel to say that I learned my lesson.
Mike Vrabel has one time admitted that he made a terrible coaching mistake. And this was after a game they won at Atlanta. This was 2019. They decided to go for it on fourth down when they should have kicked the field goal to make it a 2-possession game. That, or a 3-possession game or something like that. That was the one time that Mike the next day said, yeah, I should have done that. There was one, he went for it against Indianapolis a couple years ago, and he went for it, and they got it. It was a 4th-and-1. They turned around, pitched to Derrick Henry, ran in the end zone for a touchdown. And they were at, like, the Indy 11. And they turned around, pitched out to Derrick Henry, and he scored a touchdown. And I remember being like, no, I thought they should have gone for it. And Floyd, this was either during a break or on the air, but he laughed, and he goes, that was the dumbest time to go for it. I mean, nobody goes for it in that situation. What are you talking about? That was the worst time to go for it. And that's why you don't know anything. And like, God just got so into it. And so I remember, like, you know, maybe sometimes I'm wrong, I don't know, whatever. But I just was listening to that old podcast, heard that today, remember the Barnwell article, I'm all for it.
Jason Texan, re our conversation about taunting.
Yes, taunting.
Jason says, Tyreek Hill still gets to throw his peace sign up at everybody while he's blowing by them. Already done it this year and taunting hasn't been called. Isn't that taunting? Must just be okay because it's the Chiefs.
Take it up with the refs. That is not.
I think that's defense. One reason also why I think it's a dumb rule is because it just adds another layer of subjective calls for the refs.
Sure, but the game's so subjective anyways.
I know, but that's so
Sarah
subjective.
Sarah Thomas spotted the ball outside of the end zone.
Well, that's not
on
a subjective call.
Safety.
That is incredibly objective that she just got blatantly wrong.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next on Stillman and Company, Mike Tannenbaum. I was a little surprised by this. Mike Tannenbaum drops Ryan Tannehill in his QB rankings. Where he puts him and should we be upset with it? We'll discuss next. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. I love TriStar Moving. You know, they are my official movers. I hate moving. Most people I know hate moving. Everybody probably hates moving, but not when you use a company like TriStar. They made the entire process so simple, and that's why their motto is TriStar Movers with 5-star service. From the initial phone call to the final signature, moving was a breeze. They offer home protections, and they'll cover your floors, banisters, railings, door jams, and even the doors themselves. They are always upping the game when it comes to mover training, and all the furniture was taken care of, TVs and protective boxes, and they have a brand new state-of-the-art storage facility in case you need to protect all of your furniture. They do it all. The owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians, and they care about helping their hometown. TriStar Moving is the real deal, and that's why they are quickly on the rise. So give them a call, 615-640-1219. That's 615-640-1219. NationalMoving.org/radio is their website. They'll give you 5% off your entire move. NationalMoving.org/radio. TriStar Movers. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you, my official movers.